Hey, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. So my guest is one of our recurring guests, Ben Hippley. He is the founder and CEO of Benchmark Training. I'm glad to have Ben on. He's going to talk to us a little bit about what executive presence is. Everything from having a vision for your organization to understanding the perception of yourself in the workplace, having effective communication, being authentic with the people that you work with, and really earning people's respect in a genuine way. I'm looking forward to having this conversation with Ben. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation with Ben Hippley. Let's jump right into it. Ben, thank you so much for joining me again. It's nice to have you.
Hey, a pleasure to be back. Thanks for continuing to invite me back.
So I know we had talked about doing several different things because there's, like we said it the first time we spoke, that there's just a lot to talk about. There's a lot of different topics to kind of tackle. Excuse me. One of the things that we wanted to talk about, and something that you have some information coming up for your audience, for your people that you know, take in your content, is some training on executive presence. And I thought it would be great to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an important factor. I would say if for those that haven't heard that specific phrase, executive presence, before, they probably can click right now and know what we're talking about. But even then, even for those who use this word a lot or use it frequently, they have a hard time saying, what exactly is executive presence? I know it when I see it, but I don't know how to define it.
So, you know, let's start there. As far as I know, that's kind of a, you know, a big bite at the apple, but what would you consider the components of what, you know, overall you would call executive presence?
Yeah. So while the ingredients for executive presence vary based on several factors, there are three core ingredients that are going to be the same regardless of the situation. So I'll spit those out for you right now if you're ready for them.
Here we go.
The first one is competence. And competence sounds okay. Well, that's obvious, right? Competence, but what is it? But there are five subcategories to competence that are really important. And honestly, Jesse, that's a show in itself for you and I to have.
Fair enough.
What is competency? But that is the first core ingredient. And then the second one is trust. We can have a separate show about that one too, by the way. What is trust? And we'll break down trust really into two factors. And that is that first impression, what we refer to as quick trust, the trust that I, you know, when I first see somebody, like, do I want to trust this person? Do I not? There's so many variables there. And then the sustaining trust, which is going to cover the, the expertise in a topic, which, by the way, is different than competency. And then, of course, genuine trust, trust that we learned about since we were kids, like that real genuine trust. So another really important factor. And then the next one is one that a lot of people are not that familiar with in terms of the specific name, but they have lived it all their life. And when they hear about it, they say, I have lived this all my life, never knew there was a name for it. And that is called transactional analysis, or what ego state we come from in a conversation. Those three core components or key ingredients, right? Competency, trust, and transactional analysis. Those three are the core ingredients to executive presence. And that is, they are constant regardless of the industry, the culture, the international boundaries, we have to have those three.
Do you feel like when somebody is, you know, a lot of the times you'll just say like this person has an air about them, or they have a presence, or, you know, we just kind of notice it. It's something that we take note of, but it's not something to where we say, you know, wow, I wonder how they develop their executive presence. But I guess, so the question that I have is like, do you feel like executive presence is something that somebody sets forth a vision for themselves and they kind of cultivate that? Or do you feel like it's just something that's baked in? Like you either have it or you don't.
That is probably one of the most common questions when it comes to executive presence. And what I will tell you is that, yes, you absolutely can be intentional about your executive presence. Now, you may not be able to switch a switch on, right? Put a switch on and go, I have no executive presence today, and tomorrow I do. That's really difficult to do. What you can do for sure is continue to hone and develop and improve your executive presence, and you can do it intentionally. Now, it's worth addressing, what about people who they say they're born with it or they have this strong executive presence, but when you ask them about it, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Sure.
So there are experiences in our lives from childhood that help build some of these core ingredients that we're talking about. And so when we might meet somebody, whether they're in their late teens or 20s or 80 years old and everything in between, we might meet somebody and go, wow, they were born with executive presence. And that's not true. They definitely had some experiences, many experiences in their life, may have started in their early developmental years, like 2 and 4 and 12, that have led them to where they are now and that built and refined those three core ingredients we talked about.
Right. Well, it's kind of like that nature versus nurture argument that people have. And I think what we have learned, and it's a conversation that I've had kind of on a regular basis lately, that, you know, when you start talking about, oh, well, this person just naturally has it, or they're talented, or, you know, this person did really well this just because they're naturally good at selling or whatever it is. What I feel like the world has done is we have distilled everything down to data and analytics and science to where we know that there's real technique or there's real information behind why somebody is the way they are or why they do what they do. So I think that that's, you know, not to go out on a tangent there, but I think that there is, you know, there's just that the undercurrent of life or today, you know, today's society, we've kind of figured a lot of this stuff out, and we can actually boil it down to what it actually, you know, what are the numbers that are in that equation.
Absolutely. That's true for so many different topics. Certainly true for this one. And sometimes maybe it's just a little bit easier for us that don't feel like we have, in this case, you know, executive presence or some other skills that we might say are your people are born with. There are so many factors to these types of skills that it might seem impossible or at the best overwhelming to try to build them. Right. If I can't learn how to do this in 20 minutes, like that just sounds like too much work to me. Right. So like somebody was born a master at the piano. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, if you talk to anyone who's amazing at piano, you know that that's not true.
Sure. No, it's yeah. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into being good at any instrument or, you know, any type of skill that hard. They work at it. So along those lines. I feel like executive presence is one of those things to where, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, these people have a serious, you know, kind of a commanding demeanor. That's the, you know, kind of the connotation of when you say the words executive presence. But I know a lot of leaders that, you know, they lead in different ways, and they have, you know, and maybe they're not synonyms. Maybe that's a different thing there. But as far as like, do you feel that executive presence requires kind of a serious demeanor and kind of a, you know, command essentially, or do you feel that you can have some levity and you can still command a presence that you would consider an executive presence or a strong executive presence?
I like that you chose the word command. So I would say that the word command is an important part of overall of how we might define or acknowledge executive presence. And then you mentioned, like, can you be smiley about your executive presence?
Sure.
Do you have to be stern about your executive presence? That is going to be specific to the environment, right? So let's say I'll think of something as far from the truth as possible about myself. Let's say I'm really funny and I'm like one of those guys where I should be a stand-up comedian or I should be in Hollywood because of my humor. I couldn't be far from the truth. But somebody that is like that, you're thinking about an actor or an actress that might be like that, when they're in the room, right, in quotations, and they're showing they have executive presence, it's going to be on the humorous side. Mm-hmm. Right? We've seen interviews about Hollywood where people say, as soon as he or she walks into the room, you know, everybody lights up. They have this command about them that makes you want to smile, right? And then you can have that exact same explanation for somebody that walks into the room, maybe call it a military setting or call it something that's, you know, a life-threatening, you know, Red Cross type scenario where they walk into the room and people stand to attention and they know exactly what needs to be done to solve the whatever problems at hand. Both of those are executive presence. One is on the light, bright side, and that's necessary for that scenario. One is on the stern side, and it's necessary and relevant to that scenario. So it does not have to be one or the other.
Another thing I think about when we talk about kind of how others are perceiving you and others are looking at you, and it's very relevant in today's professional world, and I think just in general in the United States, attire has become much more casual in our world today. We, you know, I work in a professional setting. People don't necessarily come in a suit and tie anymore all the time. You know, I think the same thing in academia, where a professor used to dress in a sports coat all the time. I'm not sure if you do or you don't, but it, I don't, I've seen a lot of people that don't anymore. Do you feel like that the way that you dress, your attire, do you think that that's a part of executive presence now nowadays, or do you think that that's gone by the wayside?
Man, really good question. And this is the question actually that does not get asked enough or is not considered enough. So the quick answer is 100% your attire, and this has been true for thousands of years, by the way, your attire is going to be the starting point of your trust. Remember, one of those core ingredients, right? Now, for a long time in our history, in our recent history, the trust in our attire came from a blazer, came from a tie in some situations, right? That is what has changed. That is what has changed about attire. So attire is just as relevant and as important in our executive presence and really in our trust building as it ever has been for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years that we, you know, that we might track back. What's different here is what is the attire? And in this case, it's not, the answer is not always a blazer, right? In fact, in some cases, that could be the worst thing
right.
to try to trust with your audience is a blazer. And so that is looking at the relevance to your audience. A story that this sticks out because I heard this just a couple of weeks ago, actually, from a client. We were talking about this topic. So we at Benchmark, we have coined this as the 1+ rule for your attire. And basically, this means that you need to take the highest level of the person that you're meeting with and just dress one notch above that person. And so the example that comes to mind here is somebody who was working in a warehouse environment in sales, but selling to warehouse people, warehouse employees. And they showed up in a suit, a 3-piece suit specifically in this example. And think about that. What a fail, right? And he admitted this, like what a fail it was, thinking I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to own the room. I'm going to have command because I'm wearing this 3-piece suit in a warehouse environment. And it was absolutely to his demise to be dressed that way. So attire is absolutely critical. The relevant attire for where you are and what you're doing has to be noted.
I feel like that's almost become complicated in this world, where it used to be simple, because to your point, there was a time period where everybody, when they walked out of their house, they wore a blazer, they wore a coat and tie, and it was kind of, even though the dress itself, or what, you know, the attire itself was a little bit more complicated or more bespoke, it was kind of like wearing a uniform. Whereas in today's world, your uniform is, like, to your point, if it's dictated by your audience, sometimes that can be somewhat complicated. And I'll give you an example. I've walked into an attorney's office thinking that the attorney was going to be dressed to the nines. And I walk in there, they're an attorney firm at the beach. I made an error overdressing. They're in a, you know, basically legitimately, they were in a, like a short sleeve button down shirt and a pair of shorts and a pair of flip flops. And he looked at me and he goes, "What are you trying to sell me today?" You know, so it's, so, I mean, I've had that experience to where I missed on it, even thinking, okay, I'm dressing to my audience, but this world has become much more complex with what is accepted and what is not.
Yeah. So hindsight. Okay. That's a great example, by the way. So hindsight, if we were to look back at that, the questions we would ask ourselves, geographical location
fair.
Absolutely dictates our dress, right? What's relevant for the attire. And that goes as something as micro as what side of the intercoastal were you on in Jacksonville?
Very fair.
Like that totally matters. Well, guess what? Of course, it matters on what side of the hemisphere you're on, where you are in the world, where you are in the US. Like that also is going to dictate that for sure. And then of course, you also want to be true to yourself, right? So that is going to play a factor, being authentic to who you are, to going back to competency, your self-image of who you are and who you aspire to be throughout the course of your career and your life will play a factor for that. So if you're going to the a lawyer's office at the beaches and you would normally have worn a button-down shirt and shorts, but because you know you're going to an attorney's office, you said, "Hey, I need to do otherwise," right? That could feel like a fail. Now, at the same time, if who you are is a banker in this case, you know, just saying that as an example, if who you are as a banker, and anything less than slacks and a golf shirt to you just feels way too underdressed, regardless of where you are geographically and who you're meeting with, be authentic and show up the way that you feel is relevant.
No, I think that's very fair. And that's kind of where I was, that was kind of the next thing I wanted to bring up here, because we talk about all of these things to create an executive presence or to hone our executive presence. But I also think you have to be yourself. You have to somehow you can't forget that you're trying to sand off your own rough edges, or you're trying to improve on the image that you have of yourself. You're not trying to create this other person or this, or you know, some sort of another, like an ulterior personality or whatever. It's got to still be you.
That I think that is probably number one, right? You need to feel like you in this, and who I'm going to go back to use that word self-image, because that's so important, is who are you? Who do you want to be to your true self? And that's going to dictate that. So a quick, really dumb story. I can't believe I'm saying this and I'm giving you permission to publish it. There was a time from my senior year in high school until I was about 31, maybe 32. I did not own a pair of jeans. I didn't like jeans. It just wasn't who I was. And you know, think about that in your 20s. It didn't matter if I was, you know, going to a concert or whatever. It was either shorts or slacks. It was never jeans. And it wasn't until a team that I worked with was, you know, setting up for a really big goal, and they said they wanted their reward to be that if they hit their goal, that Ben has to wear jeans and flip flops, which I own neither, by the way. They bought them for me, and they forced me to wear them all week because they did hit their goal, and that was, you know, that was probably the beginning of the end of my wardrobe, I'll be honest with you. But again, that's a different story. But you got to be authentic to yourself, to your point.
No doubt. I think it's a great message. I think it's awesome. So you have some workshops coming up. You guys are doing something for your customers and for the, you know, a broader audience if people are interested. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to take this topic of executive presence, and we're going to do kind of what we're doing here. Really just peel back all the layers to what executive presence is. What do I have control over as in my career, in my friendships, so that I can continue to refine my executive presence? And this workshop is important, just like, you know, any opportunity to learn and sharpen your skills. This workshop is important because executive presence follows us everywhere we go. Double underline on everywhere we go. Our executive presence is so relevant, so important. So being able to refine it and develop it, Jesse, I always ask people like, hey, you in particular, Jesse, you are extremely successful. I won't make you say your age on the show, but you're extremely successful for your age. You've done a lot of great things at where you are in your career. I know you're not 50. When you turn 50, do you want to be exactly where you are now?
Possibly, but that's only because I'm recording from my home and I'd like to be retired at 50. No, kidding. No, it's a fair question, and I don't even know that I'm prepared to answer that question right now.
Well, I would encourage you to reflect on, right? And when you have a chance to reflect on what most people to come out and say, hey, I'm really happy with where I am now, but if I'm the same person when I'm 50, like I need to be better, I need to be sharper, I need to have more under my belt as a 50-year-old than I do now in my early 30s. Assuming you might be around there. So that is something with executive presence, that no matter how great your executive presence is right now while you're listening to this show, you want it to be better 10 years, 20 years from now, and you can be intentional about making that improvement.
No, I think that's very fair. I think that's awesome. If people want to sign up for the webinars, if they want to learn more, if they just want to have a conversation with you because they feel like that there might be something here as far as you guys working together, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Probably the easiest way is get on LinkedIn, find my name, which you'll see on the screen, find mybenchmarktraining.com if you want to get online. To get to the webinars and our past webinars too, on the website, go to resources and webinars will drop down for you. You can see all the information there. We do let you watch the recording later for free. So we want you to have access to refine and develop your skills for your career. Of course, watching them live is also fun because you get a chance to engage through polls and through Q&A live on those webinars. And we engage with as many of those Q&A questions as we possibly can. And you have the chance as an audience member to tell us where to go in the webinar.
I think that's wonderful. And I mean, as a testimonial for you guys, I think that you and your team give out tremendously valuable information. It's not just about the information and it's not just about the webinar, it's about the follow-ups and the conversation and the engagement afterwards. So I encourage people, if you feel like you want to improve your sales career, if you want to improve your executive presence, you want to get better at what you do, connect with Ben. I'll make sure that you have links to everything at the bottom of this interview. And again, thank you very much for joining us, and I look forward to next time.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. See you next time. Thanks.
I can't reiterate what a resource Ben and his team are over at Benchmark Training. As they have events that come up, I'll always make sure that you guys are aware of them. But for now, that's going to wrap us up. I appreciate you joining us. We'll catch you guys next time.